Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 521. Today, we're going to talk about the lifelong lessons that we learn from a chuppah, and that it makes no difference how long you're married. Obviously, if someone is a chassan and kala, then they could personally, as they're experiencing the chuppah, recognize these concepts in order to grow from them, and people that are married for years and years, and they see a chuppah, or they think about a chuppah, or they think about their own marriage pertaining to the chuppah, they could learn a lot of lessons from this as well. The idea is that when you bring through the chuppah, sometimes it's the parents, regardless whether it's the two men with the chassan and the two women with the kala, or it's the parents themselves with each one. But the concept is they link their arms with their children, lead them to the chuppah, and then release their hold. And then the chassan and kala themselves march back together. That's not just a ceremony. That's a yesod and a message that the chuppah marks a sharp transition in life. Until that time, the parents, quote-unquote, belonged to their parents. The children belonged to their parents. Kabbadis avicha vesimecha. The primary relationship is with them. And after the chuppah, they belong to each other. Their primary relationship is with each other, not with the parents. It is not easy for parents who have raised their children, cared for their children for two decades usually, plus sometimes, and to have them abruptly taken away from them in this way. Of course, it's a simcha, but lamaisa is a relinquishment of that hold. And the Torah says it beferish, al kain, therefore, yazav ish es avav es imay, a man leaves his father and his mother, v'davak be'ishtay, and clings to his wife, v'hayu labasa echa, they become like one flesh, and on the woman's perspective, the same idea. She leaves her parents and becomes one with her husband. And some people say that when the parents cry, they're crying there out of happiness, but they're owing, it's still a mix of a sort of a mourning in a certain sense of a long-term relationship. They know it's not going to be the same ever again. Because the children now are a unit. Not with you. They're a unit together with their spouse. And it's not what he wants or she wants, it's what they as a single unit wants. And their privacy needs to be respected, and they need to be given space that forms a bond between them. Rav Avigdor Miller used to give advice, keep your mouth shut and give money. And parents would relinquish their hold. And if they do not, they're undermining the fusion between a husband and a wife. Children should never be put into the position of having to choose between their parents and their spouse. And parents should never create a matziv where they have to choose either their own, your child's own husband or wife, or yourselves. Married children, it's wise to consult their parents for advice. If they're wise and they're experts, they could ask them for advice. Although probably for very, very personal advice regarding their married life, certainly their intimate life, they should consult other people, not their parents. But in some cases, the parents are very knowledgeable, and they should ask their parents. But remember that if they're asking the parent advice, they need to be free to make their own decisions ultimately. Attempts by parents to control the couple will lead negative results. We said this aside from before when we talked about control. Control, trying to control another person, always leads to negative results. So the parents, even if they can give money and they contribute to their financial support, don't think that because you're giving them financial support that it gives you the right to dictate to them what they want to do. That's a tremendous error. Remember that money should never be used as leverage. You give it freely. If you have the money and the means and you want to support and you do support, kol hakavod, support. You have a right to certain basic derech eretz that they have to show you, of course, the normal menschliche derech eretz. But to use money as a leverage, now I own you. Now I could dictate what I want. You have to hold back. It's very tempting because your son-in-law or daughter-in-law, whoever it may be, feels beholden, if they're decent people, by the fact that they're being supported by you financially, but that does not give you a right to control their lives. Now, Rav Tversky's own father discouraged newlyweds from leaving too close to their parents because it threatens their privacy and it could trigger parental meddling. It's fascinating. He said, a pasuk, and this is an interesting yisoid, that when Yosef brought his father Yaakov to Mitzrayim, he said, you'll live in Goshen and you'll be close to me by living in Goshen. Now, of course, Pasha Pshat is that Goshen should be isolated, so Klal Yisrael should be isolated from the Mitzrayim and not mixed with them. That's an MS true Pshat. But another Kavana was that Yosef loved his father, but as a ruler of Mitzrayim, he could have arranged that Yaakov live near Haran, but he realized that emotional closeness may sometimes cause emotional distancing. Sometimes it's better to have a physical separation, and that physical separation will strengthen the emotional bond, not weaken it. Years ago in the shtetl, if they had a shtetl, there was a multi-generational culture. The Chinese had this for centuries. We had grandparents, great-grandparents, centuries. And even occupational skills were handed down from father to son, right? If the father was a woodcutter and sold that as merchandise, the son continued that, usually a tailor, taught his son how to do tailoring and so on and so forth. And household skills were also transferred from mother to daughter. But these days, it's different. Those days they overcame, even though they were so close and enmeshed in that way, they learned to overcome their differences. Sometimes they didn't, and it was unfortunate, but many times they, Baruch Hashem, did. They had a comfort from that extended family. Our world, it's a little different because people are yearning for independence, and young couples have this psychological conflict. On one hand, they want independence. On the other hand, it's not easy for them to abruptly relinquish their dependence on their parents. So they may resent that the dependence is continuing, but they even have some resentments against their parent to which they're dependent. But it's, again, the idea is the striving for independence, which frustrates their dependency needs. So each one basically conflicts with each other. That's where we call interdependence as a healthy mode. You connect with your parents to a certain degree, but also learn how to have your own independent connection with your own husband and wife. Emotions, we talked about feelings in the last couple of shiurim, how to regulate it. It's difficult to control. People who care for their children for 2 decades, all of a sudden, how is that chassan and how is that kala going to all of a sudden provide their needs that me as a parent have done for 20 years? They may not be able to take care of my son or my daughter properly. That's, be careful, though. You let them overall do their own thing. Let them learn from their own mistakes and let them go on their path. Rav Tversky said that in early marriage, he ran a big fever and the physician prescribed medication. And his father, who usually is not that way, Rav Tversky's father, called him several times to check whether he was taking the medication and that he was drinking enough fluids. The implication was that maybe my wife was not looking after me adequately. He said it was good intentions, but not good practice. Parents should be sensitive to the children's adjustments in marriage, and don't be careful to avoid anything that disturbs that delicate process. Remember, there's also another set of parents that have equal rights, but that doesn't mean, for example, that the couple has to spend exactly the number of Shabbosim on each set of parents. That you're there this Shabbos, you have to be here this Shabbos, tit for tat. Great care should be taken to avoid any disagreements between mechotanim, the parents of the couples, because the loyalty of each one will cause friction, so you have to be very, very careful. Don't jeopardize your children's happiness by these petty things. The Rapam in his Sefer Torah Lamelech, page 129, he mourns over, he says he's like aggravated over the currents of disagreements over mechotanim about how to lead their children to the chuppah. One set of parents, which is to conduct their chuppah together. The other set of parents wants their minig, their two fathers do the chassan and the two kalas, and the two mothers do the walk through the kala. And that's a moment of simcha, but the satan disrupts the simcha and causes a machlaikas. And then the Rapam recites Rashi in Bamidbar Perakid Aleph Pasuk Zion, that Hashem says, look what they're complaining about. These parents are, Baruch Hashem, fortunate enough to have healthy children that lived to see them married, and instead of being joyful and full of Akaras HaTayv with Nachas, they create turmoil about how they're going to walk for a few feet, for a couple of yards, and they're arguing back and forth. We say Simen Tayv or Mazel Tayv, and we do many things as a Simen Tayv, and this is a Simen Ra, when they're arguing over who walks down the chuppah, creating aggravation, creating anger, creating machlokes at their chuppah. Same thing with a child born. Each one wants to name the child after them. It's interesting, Rav Tversky himself said that when his father died, he called everyone in and said, don't name a child after him. And they protested, and he said, I have often mediated between families because each one insisted on the right to choose the name of the child. The argument between two sets of grandparents may cause friction between the baby's parents because each feel a loyalty to his and her family. And instead of pure joy at the birth of a child, the parents are subject to aggravation. I personally was told, by the way, that couples, you know, if they had already a few children, they even went so far to make a decision, we're not having any more children, and primarily because of the agmas nefesh their parents made them have when with the pressure about naming for a child. So to be very, very careful about that. What kind of peace will I have if I know that my mother's crying because a child of mine was stubbornly named as a baby after me? Rav Tversky's father said, I don't want that kind of kavod. It has no nachas for me. Parents can make a suggestion, but the decision has to be the couple's decision. And the parents need to respect the choice of the children and do that well. It's interesting also, it's a sad, he sends a sad story over here, that a shidduch was broken shortly after, before the wedding, and it was not the parents' fault. This was caused by the chassan's friends. What happened was, is the chassan attended a certain yeshiva till age 18, and had many friends that were close to that Rosh Yeshiva. Then he transferred to another yeshiva where he was for 5 years, and the friends there were close to that Rosh Yeshiva. So the boy had two Rosh Yeshivas. One from the yeshiva he was in till 18, and one from when he was 18 and 23, and now he's a chassan. So 3 weeks before the wedding, the friends in each yeshiva made him crazy. You must take this Rosh Yeshiva to be Masada Kedusha, and the other group says you have to take that one. And if you don't do that, it would be a big busha. And the other one said, no, you've been 5 years in the second yeshiva, you're obligated to give him the kavod. And each one put pressure and pressure and pressure and made him crazy. And each one said that if you bypass this Rosh Yeshiva, it'll be a chait. And you can never do, it'll be a bad simon, and made him crazy, and he called off the wedding. The severe stress they had him undergo. If there's a conflict between the two sets of parents, be mevater. So you have to be very, very careful with these things. But the idea, again, going back to the idea of the chuppah, the parents letting go, and recognizing that there's a new unit here of a husband and wife, and to be very, ask Satsiyata Deshmaya. If it's something pertaining to Pikuach Nefesh, you could say things and you could ask a Shailov when it's in those situations that you intervene to a certain degree. But one has to be extremely careful in handling these situations. Bracha v'atzlacha.